from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we'll discuss the Giants' 7-6 15-inning win in Boston last night. Mike Yastrzemski playing at Fenway Park and having an incredible game and an incredible moment. With the win, the Giants improved to 73-78. The Cubs lost, so the Giants gained a game in the standings, and their elimination number did not change. It remains at 3. Logan Webb started this game for the Giants, and Nathan Eovaldi was the starting pitcher for the Red Sox. So it was just an incredible day for Mike Yastrzemski that started off with him meeting his grandfather at the stadium, and there was just all kinds of media attention. They went on a choreographed walk around left field and in front of the Green Monster, and just a lot of expectation coming into the game itself. And Yastrzemski, you know, Bochy put him in left field, which was Carl's position, and had him lead off, as he has secured that spot for the Giants here in the second half of the season. So when Mike Yastrzemski came up to take his first plate appearance there in Fenway Park, it was just an awesome moment where the public address announcer called his name and the Red Sox fans cheered and cheered loudly, and many of them stood on their feet to watch Yastrzemski come to the plate and take his first plate appearance. Unfortunately, Yastrzemski struck out in that first plate appearance, and the next batter, Brandon Belt, hit a home run to left field over the Green Monster. Logan Webb looked very strong in the first inning and looked strong facing the first batter of the second inning as well, getting J.D. Martinez to strike out. But that's kind of where things started to unravel for Webb, who couldn't really recover afterwards. He was shaky. It wasn't the worst outing we've ever seen, but ended up allowing 3 runs in 5 innings, 4 walks. In the second inning, he just really fell apart with command, walking the bases loaded. He also allowed a solo home run to Jackie Bradley Jr. But then in the top of the third inning, Mike Yastrzemski had his second plate appearance and took some really close pitches and ended up drawing a walk on 7 pitches. So that was good to get that out of the way. It's got to be a lot of pressure for him to go up there and try to have success, but this was just the beginning of the night that Yastrzemski would have. In the fourth inning, this is where the magical moment happened. With 2 outs and nobody on, Yastrzemski worked a 3-1 count against Nathan Eovaldi, and he got a fastball up and away, and he just drilled it to dead center field over the wall for his 20th home run of the season. And it was just simply a magical moment for the Giants and for the Red Sox, and just a storybook moment for the season for both teams. He received an ovation as he rounded the bases, which is just not that common of a thing to see in baseball, where an opposing player hitting a home run receives an ovation. I believe we saw it earlier this season when Albert Pujols went back to St. Louis with the Angels and homered. I think he homered, but I could be misremembering that. I know that he received a huge ovation when he came to the plate, but it's just a special moment whenever something like that happens, and it you just couldn't have scripted it any better. The Giants are, they very rarely go to Boston in the regular season. This is just the 5th or 6th time they've ever gone in the regular season. And Yastrzemski just happens to be with the Giants this one season where they do go to Boston. He's waited his entire career for an opportunity at the major league level, and he gets it in 2019 and is having success in the year that the Giants go to Boston, and the home run happens to be his 20th, which is a milestone for him and for Giants players, because it's not been something that's been easy for them to accomplish. So just a perfect moment, really. And to see the look on Bruce Bochy, just a huge grin on Boch, and everyone in the dugout smiling ear to ear, happy for Yastrzemski. To see Yastrzemski smile, to see the fans cheering, it was just an unforgettable moment. They'll be playing that highlight for a long, long time. And really, it was the top story in MLB. It was the number one featured story on MLB.com. The video of the home run is still the number one featured video on MLB.com and the app. Just a pure magical moment and definitely one of the highlights of the season. So just couldn't be happier for Mike Yastrzemski. He's totally earned this opportunity, toiling away in the minors for so long. Nothing was handed to him just because of his last name. So his breakout season is just a testament to him and all the work he's put in. And it was just so cool to see that. So Kevin Pillar earlier this month hit his 20th home run, and that was the first time a Giant had hit 20 since 2015. And now that Yastrzemski joined Pillar, they're the first two Giants outfielders to have 20 home runs in a season since 2006. So just positive trends for the Giants here, uncovering two players who were not on the team on opening day. Two players who have had strong seasons and put together 20 home run seasons. And for Yastrzemski, he missed the first month of the year. He's hit 20 home runs in just 97 games. Coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk about the remainder of this crazy game. Mike Yastrzemski wasn't done yet. He still made a pretty big impact on this game and the outcome of this game. So we'll talk all about it. This game went 15 innings, a record number of pitchers used for both teams and for the Giants specifically as well. And the Giants pulling one out in the 15th inning. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live events. Enter promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. When you need red wine at 4 p.m., sushi at 9 p.m., a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m., and ibuprofen at 10 a.m., Postmate it. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Download the app for iOS or Android for free, browse local restaurants and businesses, and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with code LOCKEDON. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we'll talk about the remainder of this crazy 7-6, 15-inning game between the Giants and the Red Sox. In the sixth inning, Logan Webb went back out there despite being shaky through five, and he allowed a leadoff triple to Sam Travis. Nice attempt by Slater, but it was a triple for Travis. So then in comes Andy Suarez, and the game quickly kind of got away from the Giants with Suarez on the mound. Mitch Moreland, lefty on lefty, hit a double to left field that made it 5-3, and then Christian Vasquez, a righty, hit a ground rule double to right that made it 5-4. Suarez got Jackie Bradley Jr. to strike out, but then there was a passed ball by Stephen Vogt that tied the game at 5. So I'm just not totally convinced that Andy Suarez is the guy to have on the mound in a high-leverage situation, even if that high-leverage moment is in the sixth inning. So three runs come in the inning, and the game is tied when the Giants entered the inning with a 5-2 lead. But then the bullpen was stingy from there on out, wiggling out of some trouble, but still not allowing another run until the bottom of the 13th when the Giants had put up a run to go ahead, so that run just tied the game. Great job by Fernando Abad working out of some trouble that was created by a couple hits off of Tyler Rogers. Mauricio Dubon continued to put on some really impressive defensive displays late in this game. Giants got impressive relief appearances from Will Smith and Sean Anderson, who went a combined 3 1/3 with 5 strikeouts, just 2 base runners, a hit, and a walk. So Anderson has just continued to look really strong in a relief role for the most part. And he was traded by the Red Sox to the Giants in the Eduardo Nunez deal, so that was a homecoming for him as well. And I'm sure he wanted to make the Red Sox pay for that trade, and he did. He had an impressive outing. So the Giants took the lead in the top of the 13th with a Crawford double after a Pillar single. Crawford was thrown out at third on the hit. But they took the one-run lead, and then in the 13th inning, we had Sam Selman come out, who got the first batter to strike out, but then issued a hit and a walk. And Bochy was very much not happy about the walk. As he came out to get Selman, you could see him visibly shout, like in frustration and anger, as he's walking out to the mound. So that's something we do not see very often, at least outwardly from Bochy. But we saw it there. He just was very unhappy with Selman not challenging the hitter and just kind of nibbling around the strike zone. So then Burt Smith comes in to face Xander Bogaerts, who singles on an 0-2 pitch that was actually a quality pitch. It was a pitch that was several inches above the top of the strike zone, a fastball on an 0-2 count. So that's exactly what he was trying to do. But Bogaerts, being the talented hitter that he is, he lined a single to right field, kind of a soft line drive single to right. Thankfully for the Giants, it didn't score a run, even though there were runners on first and second when the hit took place. And then Bochy came out again to get another. He used four pitchers in the 13th inning. He got a lefty for Rafael Devers, which is definitely the right thing to do there. And Peralta got Devers to strike out swinging. So suddenly the Giants are one out away with the bases still loaded and two outs. But, and this is where I thought the inning was managed beautifully until this point. Bochy goes and gets Kyle Bearclaw to face Juan Centeno, who was pinch hitting for Gorky's Hernandez. So lots of crazy Giants-Red Sox overlap in this game. Gorky's Hernandez obviously being with the Giants last season. But so the problem, Bearclaw's biggest issue is command and walks. And so to bring him into a situation where he 100% has to throw strikes is not exactly the scenario where you would ideally want to see Bearclaw. Bochy has said the same thing about Maranta, which of course obviously unavailable right now, but that he likes to use him with traffic, with runners on the bases. But I don't really understand that. Guys with big command issues are not who I would want to see with runners already on base. You love the strikeout stuff with runners on base, but definitely bases loaded, tying run on third with two outs. It was a sketchy scenario, and Bearclaw walked in the tying run after falling behind 3-0. He was able to escape the inning without another run scoring, however, so he went on to the 14th and then the 15th inning. And then in the 15th, we had a Donovan Solano pop-up ground rule double down the right field line, and then a wild pitch followed by an Alex Dickerson pinch hit sacrifice fly. So it was a great at-bat by Dickerson. He scalded the ball, and the wind was blowing in. Otherwise, it would have been a homer. It was to dead center, and it went all the way to the wall. Should note, too, that Mike Yastrzemski led off the 14th inning with a ground rule double to deep right center field, tweaked his ankle on the swing, and had to be attended to by the trainers, but ended up being fine and staying in the game. So anyway, Giants take the lead in the 15th, and then Derek Rodriguez, who pitched the 14th, comes back out for the 15th and allows a couple base runners, but gets Brock Holt to line out to end the game. So it was just a crazy marathon game. The teams combined to tie the record for most pitchers used in a major league game. The Giants used 13 pitchers, which broke their previous record of 11. So anyway, it was definitely one that the Giants were happy to come away with the win. And it makes the Yastrzemski impact even greater because it was part of a victory. So his career win number 1,999 for Bochy, who's just one win away from 2,000. Giants will have an opportunity to win him number 2,000 tonight. It'll be Jeff Samardzija on the mound for the Giants against Ulys Chacin, who we've seen a lot of from his time with the Rockies. He's a right-handed pitcher. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter, @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.